I was sitting back there with the men. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I was sitting back there with the men and listening. And I just was sitting there listening and thinking, why in the world did you put this message on my heart, Lord? But I'm going to give it. It's what the Lord put on my heart. I think it's going to be more of a reminder and an encouragement than anything. That's what I pray for. And so let's read the last few verses here, Matthew 9. You know, this famous passage for missions especially. And we'll take a minute to pray. But it says in verse 35, we'll start. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and just thank you for what you've been doing all day today, this morning, now. And we just ask that you would continue, Lord, that you would work, that you would lead me in my thoughts, my heart, guard my mouth, and just most importantly, Lord, I always ask that you just work on the individuals here, Lord. You know where everybody's at, that unique, different spot of their life, and you know what you desire in their lives. And so you just use this, Lord, for your glory, your honor. Help us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I ask, I praise, amen. So this passage here is actually what the Lord used to confirm where specifically in Mexico, because when we had visited with the Raymond Jones family, they took us over there as one of the many spots they brought us. And it's exactly what we saw, a bunch of people that had a desire, but were just faint in their faith. Just out of it, no leader, no direction. And I came back home and was praying. And about 2 weeks into that prayer, I came through here and saw this. They were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. And just clear as day, God said, Adam, I want you to go be their shepherd. And I always really appreciate this passage, but you go drop down to the next verse, and it just, it's a sober thing here. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I want to sit on that for just a little bit. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest of lost souls is so plenteous. You see it throughout the Bible. There's all these moments and times you see where God is saying, whom shall we send? You know, I sought for a man among Israel and all these different places. And I think today we're sitting in the same exact place in a country that does have great Christian roots in it, you know, biblical roots in it, everything that this country's done through the last 250 years. But man, even more so today, I think we're even at a greater harvest of lost souls all around us with very few laborers. In America, you know, the days, these last days that we sit in, you know what they're like. You got the Bible being preached and taught here. The days of Noah, the days of Lot, and just utter violence. And you see it worldwide, and even here. You guys got an epicenter here in Minneapolis of things going on over the last, I don't know how many years. The ideology, you know, the days of Lot, and it's pretty close to coming in your homes and ripping you out of your homes and different things. You know, I don't know how close we'll get to all that before that trumpet blows. Hopefully tonight. I'm ready. Are you guys ready? Oh man, I'm ready. And the church, honestly, I'm going to use Christianity as a broad term, but even Baptist churches has been really immersed into a world of opinion and theory and division with rudiments of the world. Amen. Instead of rudiments of Christ. And I say the church has been immersed in it as well. Well, because in every single room you have a TV and we have these things and it's just pumping junk and junk. And you see it, even Christians, they're like this, you know, just all day long, and they'll come into any kind of doctor office or whatever, and they come in just like this, and they, you know, sign in, and then they go like this, and they sit there until they're called. It's like, oh my word. I mean, just like you're sucked in, like you're in, and that is the world we live in. And Christianity as well. Our culture in this nation, it's sad, but really has bred the good fight of fanatical politics instead of the good fight of faith. And it's unfortunate because... calm down a little. It's feeling a little tense, starting to get a little tense in here. But you know... we've been sucked into the many voices that are out there, that the different podcasts and Christians, they have the facade of Christianity and Jesus Christ, you know, that we listen to, but 95% of what's being pumped out is them versus us. And that mentality versus truth. And there is good fights in that, but it's not the fight. And we have come to a point where I'm from Washington State, guys. I mean, keep Portland weird. We're right in between Portland and Seattle, and that's all that junk's right all through there. And you know, the little conservative place that I grew up in is no longer that. And it really has just moved into a different culture, a very different culture. And we look at them because of all the junk that's being pumped, plus the things that they're doing, you know, and it's like, ugh. And really, when you take this thing and this the book here, and you let it get inside of you, and when you look up, you know what we ought to see is a harvest of lost souls. Just lost. There's lost souls all around us. And their mind is whacked. Their mind is whacked. I get it. But we've kind of lost the main thing, you know, within Christianity. I'll say it's so bad. I was on a street corner the first time Trump was running for president, and I'm in the middle of the wages of sin is death. I mean, I don't know about you, but for a lost guy before, that's like, whoa. You know what I mean? And this lady, it's a nice day. Everybody's kind of got their windows down, and this lady's looking at me and listening. And just out of the middle of all that, she goes, "Can you say something about Trump?" How do you even associate me with Trump? Well, there's a reason they associate us with Trump. There really is. That's what they see. Because that's the fight that Christianity is fighting. And I, you know, continued. The Bible says you need a Savior, and your Savior is not Trump. Amen. Amen. And there is a very clear division. It is a very purposed division in America that we have to be careful not to fall into. It is us and them, left and right, and blue and white and red. And, you know, it is, and it's not a wide line. It's a very fine line, man. You're either on one side or the other. There's no middle ground these days. Am I right? Are you guys resonating with all of this? And we got a harvest that it truly is plenteous all around us, but Christianity has kind of turned to a point of there are very few laborers because those people are idiots. You understand what I'm saying? And but I want to show you something, and this is the point I'm trying to get to before we finish tonight. Jesus Christ did something really amazing here with these people, and there's just one word that sticks out that I want to pull out in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, it says he is moved with, what's that word you see there? Compassion. Compassion. This is a key word that we're going to have to really stick into our mind if we're going to look at this world differently. different than what everybody out there is telling us to see. Looking at it from a biblical view. Looking at it a view from Christ's eyes. And I want to just pull a little bit out on compassion on people, especially when they don't deserve it. Look here in Matthew 14. Turn with me in Matthew 14 and verse 14 here. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." And this is that story where he fed, 5,000 there. And it says 5,000 men. Great story, amazing, amazing thing. And he did it because he was moved with compassion on these people. But turn to John chapter 6. It's the same story. Just a little bit more insight that I want to give you about the next day and what Jesus Christ said to those people that he had compassion on. In John chapter 6, the same thing happens, but it says in verse 22, the day following. So the next day after he fed all of them and he sent them all away, it says in verse 24, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. But when," and it says, "and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Man, Jesus, he didn't even bat an eye at the question. He always just kind of goes right to the issue, does he not? Yeah. "And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Man, these people weren't seeking their Messiah. They weren't seeking what they ought to have been seeking, God. But they're just there to get their belly filled. This is the man that can give me what I need. He's the one that can heal the sick in my family. This is the one that we need to go see. Now, Jesus Christ, the same as today, yesterday, and forever. I mean, this is God Almighty in flesh. He read their minds. He knew their thoughts and their heart before he fed them. And it says he was moved with compassion on a bunch of heathen that are just looking to get their bellies filled. Is that not the world around us? Man, they're so lost. And I know what the media shows and everything, but they're so fainted in mind. They have no direction. They have no shepherd. They're just so in need. And that's what Jesus saw with these people, and he was moved with compassion on them. I think just a couple chapters back, you see Jesus Christ in chapter 4. You know the story well. You know, he had compassion on, in my days, what you would call a very loose woman. Are you with me? I mean, Jesus said there in verse 17, when she's saying, "I have no husband," he said, you say well, because in verse 18, "You've had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast, he's not even your husband." I mean, you see the type of woman that Jesus Christ is dealing with here. But as she brings up social arguments and status arguments and religious, all these different arguments that she's bringing up, just like the people around us, they bring up all this just stuff. I mean, whatever. That's the point I get to. But what is Jesus Christ doing here? The main thing. Like, keep the main thing, it's eternal life, living water. You have a destination after this. Do you know where you're going? It's not about all the other arguments that are presented to us as we're trying to witness to people and all the junk that's going on all around us all the time and the wacky ideas that they have. It's just, they need eternal life. And you see it in this story, Jesus Christ had compassion to come through. It said he must needs go through Samaria to talk to this lady. She doesn't deserve. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Not one bit. Just like you and I. Amen. I did not deserve one bit for Jesus to lead me to the truth. Right.
Right.
Not one bit. He had compassion on me. Oh, praise God. Thank God. He had, and you know what happened to this story, guys, close to the very end, we'll see here in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. I mean, Jesus Christ had compassion on one very loose Samaritan woman, half-breed, with all this different ideology, and led her to the truth of, you need Christ. You need eternal life. And that one woman putting just a little grain of faith in, wow, this is the Christ, guys. Running back in, this is the Christ. This is the one that we've been waiting for. It leads to a whole town. It says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Having compassion on one wretched sinner and bringing them to the knowledge of truth led a whole bunch of them to end up getting the truth and putting their trust in the Savior. You see how that works? Man, it's amazing. And we kind of let that fly over us whenever we read, because we're listening to so much junk. And look here in Hebrews chapter 5 with me. The thing about these people, there's something we really need to key in. It helped me. And it brought me back to where I was as well. You go back here to, or up here to Hebrews 5, and I know there's doctrinal stuff in here, but just stick with me here. Take a good application. It says in 5:1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And look what it says here in verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant. You know, that's what they are. They're not stupid people. They're just very ignorant. They have no knowledge of truth.
That's it.
And you can understand why with the voices that they're listening to. I mean, this was us, was it not? I remember it was very shortly before I got saved, just within a couple months of me meeting my wife and her starting to invite me to church. And it was the 04 Bush, whoever the loser was. Do we ever remember who the loser is? I don't know. Somebody in here does. And it was that time, that season, and he was talking politics to me, which I never talked religion or politics with anybody. I hated it. And he's talking to me about, hey, don't you believe, you know, the right thing with abortion? I'm like, well, what's the right thing? You know, don't you know what God did? I'm like, well, no, I think women should have a choice. Everybody here goes, oh my goodness, the missionary? Yeah! I was an ignorant, sinful, wicked man in the world with no truth. And he sat there and just railed on me. He was a Christian. He was saved. I found out later on. And just, man, you're an idiot. Have you ever read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? And man, just railing on me about all these different things. And I was just like, oh, okay. You know what did not happen that day? I did not get saved. I did not change my mind. I did not even fathom an understanding of what he was talking about. It was beyond me. You know what did happen? A few months later, I step into Faith Baptist Church, and the man is up there, and he's preaching on hell and Jesus Christ the day I walk in. Boom. Received truth. Amen. That day, I received Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. God came and lived inside of me. And then, you know, eventually I start reading the book, and I'm listening to the preaching, and with God inside of me, and he's moving me, and he's stirring things, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm an idiot. what am I doing? Like, wow, God, I am so sorry. I didn't know that. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the people all around us. They're just ignorant of truth. And us fighting these fanatical politics, it's not going to change them. It's not going to get them saved. There's some good fights in there, but the thing is, they're going to start changing their mind after they have God living inside of them. And that's what they need. And they need some people that will have compassion to understand their ignorant state, to be just slow and help them get some truth about Jesus Christ and God. Are you with me? You get what I'm saying here? It really is the world that we live in, and we need to accept this is where we are. We're not in the 50s. We're not going to see thousands of people, you know, move and revivals. And we're just not there anymore. But there's still people out there that want the truth. And they're hidden amongst all the other idiots. And we just got to bear the burden of them. I mean, if you want to call it, we need to bear the burden of the idiots. That's what my wife did with me. I annoyed her. She hated me because I whistled at her. And she, you know, eventually I showed that I wasn't just some ignorant, And she kind of started talking. She bared the burden of me. And it was a heavy burden to bear. And she brought me to church and got me saved. And man, that's what these people need. And, you know, I know I grew up in the same kind of era, and I think it's way worse now, but just with all the influencers, and man, everybody wants to make their mark in this world and change lives and make it different, right? That's kind of one of the spirits that are out there in America. Look with me in Jude here, right before Revelation, the book of Jude, towards the end. And I just want to tell you, you can make a difference in this world. But it's not by doing everything else that you're seeing that's going on out there. It says here in verse 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." Yeah, like I say, I know there's doctrinal things in there, but just hold on to that personal. You need to keep yourselves in the love of God. Compassion. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference." You can make a difference. But I mean, honestly, you're not going to make much of a difference without compassion. And right there, the next verse says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." And all these people around us, I mean, just let me ask you some questions and just, you know, provoke whatever the Lord wants to provoke here. But when was the last time that you actually just bared a little bit of a burden with these idiots that are running around? When was the last time that you were like, you were stirred and God said, "Give that person a track," and you're kind of, but you did it. And God said, "Tell them about Jesus Christ. Hey, make a friendship with that person, that coworker, that loved one. Hey, make a difference here. Show this person some truth." When was the last time you were stirred about these lost souls around us and understanding where they're going and just putting it all into perspective? Because here's the truth of the world that we live in until we hear that trumpet blow. Some years back, I was interested and just kind of thinking about, man, 8 billion people? That's a ton of people. That's a lot of people. How many people die a day? And just started, you know, running some numbers on Google. Google knows everything, right? And, you know, different place and just kind of figuring out. And the Lord really started stirring me. And the number is like, wow, that's astronomical. What about every minute? What about every second? You know how many people die in this world, including Minneapolis and all the surrounding areas right all around you? A second? Two people. Two souls. Two souls a second are just slipping off into eternity. Worldwide. With the state of the world that we are in today, how many do you think every second of those two that die whoop, shoot right up to heaven? Whew. I don't know. And we get wrapped up in our lives and we're busy with, you know, school and work and fun and family and finances, and the trials come along, and now we have this thing going on, and we're just wrapped up in so much going on while the seconds are just ticking by in our lives. And those people are idiots. And that person, and man, my kid, this, and our marriage, I just don't understand. And man, right now, I just really want the American dream and trying to, you know, make some money for my family. Just, man, slipping out of this world. How many right there in just that 1 minute? 120. 120 people just died in the last minute. Did they have the gospel? Did they know the gospel? Did anybody invest in them? Did anybody get close to them to just try and give them some truth? Try and make a friendship? When was the last time I did that? That's the question. That's really what I want to encourage you in tonight. Just putting a remembrance on souls. The harvest truly is plenteous. Let's go ahead and just take a minute to pray. And Pastor, if we can, you know, just follow this leading of the Holy Spirit here, maybe get a piano player, and we'll have all heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you want to come forward, you want to talk to the Lord, I just want to encourage a time of remembering the harvest field. The harvest truly is plenteous. Where's our hearts? Where's our mindset? When was the last time I did something? Don't quench the Spirit. Just let Him move.